Wednesday night edition of BetMGM tonight here on Westwood One Sports. He's Brad Evans. And I am a euphoric Pat Boyle, still only about 20 hours removed from the greatest Knick win of my entire life. And we are brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. We're with you every Monday through Friday, 6 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and you can watch the show live on YouTube. Just search BetMGM Tonight and hit that subscribe button. You can watch the show live on Twitter at BetMGM Tonight, and you can listen to the show on the Westwood One Sports app, the Odyssey app, SiriusXM Channel 375, and hundreds of local affiliates throughout North America. Our talking text line to join the show is 310-840-4910. You can call or simply just text your thoughts on the show or any of the topics we dive into. Again, that's 310-840-4910. So I'll say it, Brad, again for me. I've had a day to sleep on it. I've had a morning to think about it. I've had an afternoon to think about it. It's the greatest Knicks win of my entire life. And I feel like Knicks fans have had a couple of opportunities to say that over the past few years. Again, a franchise that barely made the playoffs in this century until Jalen Brunson got here. Yeah, a couple of times in the first round, get destroyed by the Heat. The one time the Knicks actually could have been to a conference finals, they trip up and lose to the Pacers in 2013. The little mellow stint, there was a little bit of excitement, but it was quickly here and gone. And so only four playoff appearances before 2021. And then since then, it's been 4 out of 5 years going to the playoffs. And kind of one little step further than the next every single year. And there has been some incredible wins along the way. Last year, I think the greatest Knicks win of my life was them annihilating the Celtics in that closeout game at Madison Square Garden. And there has been some really great wins along the way, especially this postseason, watching them break records and beat the Hawks by 50 points. But last night, to be down by 22 with under 8 minutes left, and I'm on the air. I'm inconsolable. I'm depressed. We have callers calling up, fellow Knicks fans. All right, well, maybe this is the wake-up call. Maybe this is what they needed. Let Cleveland feel good about themselves for one game, and then the Knicks explode. Jalen Brunson explodes. The Knicks had a 0.1% chance of winning. Brad, I know you've got some historical numbers to add to it because my thoughts are still racing on how it happened, but I'll put it very simply this way. It was the greatest Knicks win of my entire 31 plus years on this earth. It was one of the greatest comebacks I've ever seen. No matter, I don't care what team you're a fan of. And it feels like any chance the Cavs had of winning this series evaporated with a monumental collapse meltdown last night in the Garden. It was magic. It was euphoria. And I'm still dreaming about a Knicks championship this year. And they have not been derailed after that win last night.
Yeah, I saw your social media video earlier today on X. Again, follow my boy, Pat Boyle, at Pat Boyle 44. You were saying it's close. I saw it with my own eyes. And I understand why. You weren't wearing a shirt, and I have no idea what was going on down south. I would not want the restrictions of clothing either, based on what occurred last night. Just historic, epic, unreal comeback. MSG was rocking. It was rolling. The party outside on the street there in Manhattan, it was off the hook, to say the least. And you want some historical perspective? I'm going to give it to you right now. Again, at 1 point down, 22 in the fourth quarter, and with a 0.1% chance. Yes, you heard that correctly. 0.1% chance of winning, according to ESPN Analytics. Teams were 1-594 since 97-98 in those instances, they roared back. What's utterly stunning to me, Pat, is the line closed at 7.5 and the Knicks covered. How in the hell did they cover?
Yeah.
And I don't even know what the live line was when they were down 22. It was 7 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. It had to be, what, 10-1, 15-1, maybe 20-1, something like that. And there was probably some desperate Knicks fan chasing out there. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll sprinkle. Maybe magically the lead will be ours in the end, and I'm going to make a whole pile of cash. Well, that person looks utterly brilliant. Go out and buy some scratchers immediately because you're probably going to hit a jackpot on that as well. I cannot believe the Knicks covered the 7.5. down 22 points with 7 minutes to go in that game. Per Nate Duncan as well. Teams up 20 with 7 minutes to go in the NBA playoffs were 643-0 until last night. That's just how, you know, off the charts ridiculous that comeback was. And I even saw a little factoid. The Jets, yes, the New York Jets, a little cross sport mention here. And we're going to talk about them a little bit later on the show, another edition of 3-Point Stance. The Jets had a better chance of winning this year's Super Bowl than the Knicks did coming back and winning that game in the fourth quarter down 22 last night. That's a mic drop moment. That says it all. When the Jets have better odds of anything, you know what you have done has rewrote history. Congratulations. Stay butt naked, my man, and party your tail off.
Oh, yeah, big time. 310-840-4910. By the way, so, Brad, what do you think? Was this more of a Cavaliers all-time choke? Or was this just one of the more triumphant comebacks you've ever seen? And sometimes you can't have one without having the other. And look, even as a Knicks fan, for me, my opinion, I'll admit it, like the Knicks had no business winning this game. They were flat for 3.5 quarters. The rest versus rust, I thought it wasn't going to be a problem. Apparently it was. They looked rusty as all hell. Didn't look like they were even going to crack 90 points until that explosion happened. But I think this is more of a Cavaliers choke. And we're going to get into why I blaming Kenny Atkinson. We're going to get why I'm blaming Donovan Mitchell. But again, you're up by 22 points with less than 8 minutes to go. I don't care how hot another team gets. The Cavs made no adjustments. They played basically, I saw Chuck say it last night on Inside the NBA, they played prevent offense. They just tried to milk the shot clock. And today's NBA, where you can hit threes like they're going out of business, and you only get 24 seconds. This isn't college where 30, an extra 6 seconds per possession could actually make a huge difference. They milked the clock. It was lazy. It was like, oh, we're just going to play this one out. We got this one. Oh, my goodness. We've already stolen home court advantage. And then here come the Knicks. Here come Brunson. Here comes the five out with Landry Shamet coming into the game. This was a Cavaliers gag. This was a Cavaliers choke.
Yeah.
Way more than it was an incredible, triumphant Knicks comeback. It was a triumphant Knicks comeback. But if you're looking where what this was more of last night, the Cavaliers should be, their fans, their stomachs are turned inside out because they had this game won and the team completely melted down.
Yeah, they did. You know, I think living in the moment right now, we're all looking at that point of view and saying, okay, that's acceptable. But when we have the discussion and rehash this game 10 years, 15 years, 20 years down the road, maybe even 5 years, you're always going to remember the winning side, right? You know, you go to like NFL examples, the Patriots, amazing come from behind victory and a Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons. You know, obviously Falcons fans, it still burns. You know, they try to bury that demon a long time ago, but New England fans, all they do is reminisce about what occurred in that triumphant comeback. And I think most people remember the triumphant comeback. Use another NFL example. I grew up a Houston Oilers fan. I remember they blew a massive lead the playoffs against Buffalo Bills in the 90s. And that, you know, I painfully remember Houston choking that sucker away. But you asked most of the country, you asked the citizens of Western New York, the diehard Buffalo Bills nation, you know, smashing tables and everything else. And they're going to say, yeah, we remember the triumphant comeback. So usually the positive overtakes the negative in these instances, but there is an argument. And you and I were talking about it on our you know, show prep call today. Does Kenny Atkinson, the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, deserve all of the blame? I say no. It was a collective gag. It was a collective just fall on your sword moment. Donovan Mitchell did not demand the basketball in crunch time. You know, he's the superstar player. He's the perennial all-star. He's the stud. He is the centerpiece of that entire Cleveland Cavaliers unit. And he should have said, even in a timeout, if Atkinson's not dialing something up, he should have jumped in and said, give me the damn rock. I will make things happen. I will get us off the schneid. We're going to win this game. Let me take control. Let me take command. We saw none of that last night. So as a result, the leadership failed in the coaching ranks. I feel the leadership failed on the floor as well. If there's any finger to point, I would point it more so at Donovan Mitchell than Kenny Atkinson.
Wow. Wow, that's an interesting take. That's an interesting debate here. 310-840-4910. I think Kenny Atkinson deserves just about all the blame. And look, what you said about Donovan Mitchell is correct, and I'll give you some numbers to back that up here. Donovan Mitchell made a three-pointer to make it 92-71 with 8 minutes and 19 seconds left. You added one James Harden free throw after that. That's when everything turned. Mitchell hits a three. He then did not take another shot until there was 3 minutes and 47 seconds to go, nearly 5 minutes and several Cavs possessions, and that was a missed three. He only took one other shot after that, another miss with 1:52 to go, and the only other thing he did in that quarter with 8 minutes to go was a turnover with 6 minutes and 41 seconds left. No assists, no rebounds, nothing. He was virtually invisible. I still put all the blame on Kenny Atkinson because, Brad, how do you not call a freaking timeout as the Knicks get it back to 20, to 15, to 12, to 10, to 8? Again, it was 93-71 with 7:45 to go. Kenny Atkinson's next timeout was after Jalen Brunson's three to make it 94-89 with 3:30 to go. He watched a 22-point lead melt down to a 5-point lead before he called a timeout. How do you only call the first timeout after an 18-1 run? He said after the game he likes to hold on to his timeouts because he would want a, you know, he would want one in case there's a one possession game in the final minute. I mean, was he expecting the Cavs to blow this gigantic lead? You don't get to take those timeouts into game two, Kenny. That and the fact that he left James Harden on an island to get cooked like raw meat by Jalen Brunson and the Knicks, who attacked him relentlessly. Kenny Atkinson is fully to blame, in my opinion, and that is understanding and recognizing that Donovan Mitchell did nothing in those final 8 minutes.
Okay, that's entirely fair. That is a stunningly good argument on your behalf, so I'll give it credit where credit is due. You know, just to add to that argument overall, I mean, the Knicks closed out Cleveland. This is just mind-blowing for me to even say this, to even look at it on paper, on my screen, but they closed them out with a 44-11. That's right, folks, a 44-11 run. I mean, that is just insane in the membrane, and he only called a singular timeout. At some point, you got to hit the reset button. You got to bring the troops in. You got to rip them a new one. You got to motivate them somehow, have them regain their focus. I mean, these are pros. This is the biggest stage. Some of these guys, arguably in their entire lives. And this is why you go out there and play the game, you know, to go old school on you there. But in that moment, they should have called a timeout. I agree with you. You know, Atkinson should have caught it down, you know, 15, 12, 10. As you're shaving those points and those deficits off, those stoppages should have been installed so you could bring the troops in, slap them around a little bit and say, guys, get your asses in gear. We got to win this game. Dig deep, claw, scratch, do whatever is necessary, but we got to press the right buttons at the right time right now. So based on your argument, I'll give you a win. But I still feel that Donovan Mitchell is not absolved from any wrongdoing because he completely failed.
Yeah, and that's fair. And that is fair, by the way. Again, you can't have your star player who, by the way, Donovan Mitchell, I mean, at one point in the third quarter had like 25 points. He finishes with 29. They scored 3 points in overtime. I forget who scored it because it was a blur to me. And it was euphoria. It was nirvana. So Donovan Mitchell basically had close to 30 points midway through the fourth, and then barely touches the ball. Yeah, you're right. He's not absolved of the blame, but I still put most of it, if not all of it, on Kenny Atkinson because that's on him. Call up a half-court set. Like you said, you want to call a timeout, smacking him around, get him emotionally fired up. That's one. How about just draw up a play for your star player? And then the other big thing is get the defensive liability off the floor. How does does James Harden deserve any blame? I don't know how much blame he deserves. He wasn't good offensively either. Harden and Mitchell combined to go 1-for-10 from the field to finish the game, while Jalen Brunson was 8-for-10 from the field. But here is the most shocking stat. The Knicks put James Harden in 21 on-ball screens in the fourth quarter. They got 9 isolations of James Harden one-on-one against the ball handler, and that netted nearly 2 points per play. That is jaw-dropping how much they abused him, and Kenny Atkinson watched all of that. Not just an 18-1 run, not just Donovan Mitchell not touching the ball, but he watched James Harden get used and abused. And he just basically let it happen. And Kenny Atkinson, here was the other shocking quote after the game that I cannot believe he said, he admitted to. And he said, quote, "He's been one of our best defenders in these playoffs. I trust him. Smart. Great hands. Didn't think about that, about benching James Harden." I mean, come on. Come on. Even if James Harden did okay defensively in the series against Detroit, and he's a guy that can actually defend somewhat in the low post, or he can get some steals, the way that the Knicks treated him, getting him one-on-one out on an island and everybody was out on the perimeter, that is a no-no. And I'm not an NBA coach, and I knew it. And I'm thinking to myself as we're on the air last night, oh my God, Brunson's cooking Harden. He's still out. I couldn't believe it was happening. And then to put yourself in the brain of a coach that is supposed to be going through all these situations that is as experienced as Kenny Atkinson is, how do you just continue to let that happen, Brad? I could not believe it, but I'm very thankful. And yes, I did put out a shirtless video on Twitter today. I was walking the dog this morning. It was 95 sweltering degrees. I said, all right, let me send out a thank you note here. And I thanked Kevin Durant. And you know by now, I'm a big hater of Kevin Durant. But remember, I wanted to make a cheeky way to kind of thank Kenny Atkinson. And I said, well, let me thank Kevin Durant because he got Kenny Atkinson fired when he was in the Brooklyn Nets. And if Kenny Atkinson doesn't get fired because KD wanted Steve Nash, who knows what would have happened. But I know that it led to Kenny Atkinson being the coach on the sidelines last night while that run happens. And he didn't do a damn thing about it except for sit by and like be paralyzed to it. Like it was that sleep paralysis when you have your sleep paralysis demon standing in the doorway. That was Jalen Brunson and the Knicks, and Kenny Atkinson was unable to move. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and understandably so. By the way, folks, if you want to see that thirst trap, ladies, go to @PatBoyle44 on the X, and you're welcome. I will say this, cherry on top of the sundae, Pat. Can we give Jalen Brunson all the flowers? He was brilliant. You know, 38 points. He just took over, not only, you know, late in the game, but obviously in the overtime session as well. I think Karl-Anthony Towns played well for the most part. He had the 7 turnovers. I got to clean up that action, but, you know, 13 points, 13 rebounds, getting ass in the glass is exactly what you needed because I was wrong. Evan Mobley, I thought, was going to get boxed out and not post meaningful numbers crashing the glass, but, you know, he had well into double figures in the department. Made me look like a horse's ass. For saying, yeah, I like the under on 7.5. I got seduced by the juice and I got ruined by it as a result. But the last thing I want to say is this, Pat. You know, we were talking about the Western Conference Finals. And don't worry, folks, we're going to talk about game 2. We're going to give you some picks and our full game breakdown in that Spurs matchup against OKC. And people were like, yeah, you know, the Eastern Conference, ho-hum, except for you and the beloved New York Knicks fans that are out there. You and Ben Stiller, you know, hand-in-hand, Chalamet, you guys are all hanging out, partying together, doing all kinds of shots. I don't blame you. But most people just glossed over the Eastern Conference Finals and said, yeah, this is not going to be any meaningful basketball action. We had Nick Friedell on, who covers the NBA, and that was kind of his prevailing feelings. Like, hey, everybody's just obsessed with the Western Conference. It seems inevitable. Whoever wins that bout between the Spurs and Thunder is going to win the whole shebang. But, man, we have got an unbelievable, a stirring start in this Eastern Conference final matchup and the Western Conference final matchup. The drama is on high. Keep popping that popcorn and pop it in your mouth because this is going to be one hell of a ride in both of these series.
Oh, yeah. I fully agree. I hope it's not for the Knicks-Cavs. I hope it's a sweep. I hope it's over in 5. But after last night, I'm thinking, yeah, we might have a decent series on our hand here. You're listening to BetMGM Tonight with Pat Boyle and Brad Evans. We're sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24-7. See if you could save at ProgressiveCommercial.com. All right, as Brad alluded to, when we come back, we're going to preview Game 2, Spurs, Thunder. Can Wemby do it again? Will SGA step up? Is it a must-win game for the Thunder? We'll answer all those questions, give out some plays for you when we come back. Number to join the show, 310-840-4910. This is BetMGM Tonight right here on Westwood One Sports.